Hello, how are you? You know, I talk like that because something is happening on the screen and I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. Hello, I'm Islam, right? I really do. I write and I communicate. I'm Isawellen Writes, and this is Stories for Adults, and we have some special poetry. And my guests are going to bring some special poetry to you this evening, and I'm super excited about it. Very, very excited about it. So I'm sharing this out, getting this posted, inviting people in as the music gets so epic. So epic. Hello, everyone. Hi. This is the third kind of poetry show that I've done with Twitter poets. Before that, I have talked about since coming to getting on Twitter in October of 2018 or 19, I don't remember actually, and starting the podcast. One of my themes has been just my fascination with the poetry community and finding it, and just all the discoveries to be made there and the friends that I've made there. And so I've always wanted to have more poetry on the show. But in between then, I was writing books and talking to people on the dirtier side of Twitter, and exploring some of their experiences and learning about them, because that was also a very different kind of there was a lot to learn there for me about people in general. And so I'm just going back to the poetry, going back to discovering the words. Words have always been my passion, and I love to play with words like a paintbrush, and I'm gaudy and I'm heavy-handed, and I've always had a passion. I remember learning to write poetry in third grade, and I don't remember what I don't have a good enough memory to remember what I wrote, but it was probably something depressing even in third grade, because I knew that you could express the mood with poetry. So tonight, I have a special guest. I have Sworn Girl Gill, and I'm gonna need you to pronounce the last part. I don't see you, so I'm gonna share the link with you just in case. Sometimes I have heard it seems like if it's a guest. If it's a guest, that they're not getting my notifications for some reason. I get them. In fact, I just got one. Why I'm getting one and my guest isn't when they've subscribed, I don't know. But yeah, I guess I'll complain. I'll have to complain about it, but so tonight we're talking poetry. I don't know what Sworn is going to read. I don't know what he's going to do. We've talked a little bit, very actually briefly in the DMs about our passion for words. So and there he is. We've talked a little bit about our passion for words and a passion for what we found on that didn't work. So sometimes I have to send the invite. And it's funny, words are kind of a funny thing to be passionate about, but there's so much power in them. And hi.
Hi,
Are
you can hear me?
we there you are. Yes, I can hear you now. I hear you really well. So we're connected. Can everybody hear us in the audience? So I just was like rambling on and trying to click on things. You didn't get a notification. I don't know what that is. But how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You're doing pretty good. Did you have a good Friday?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a tough last couple of days. I actually, while jogging Wednesday morning, I fell, and it just like I on the on like rough asphalt, and just like gave myself like second degree burns or something like that. So it's been tough to move around. So I don't know. I watched a lot of soccer today, so I guess that's good. Wrote some
You want
poetry.
somebody else to be active?
Right. I'm sure I burned some calories.
Are you really active? I mean, are you like daily jogging or bike riding or something?
I mean, I try. I have a 3 and 7 year old, and especially during the pandemic, it's been tough. I try to exercise about 4 times a week. Swimming is sort of the main thing I do right now. I like doing the backstroke. I try to do like 3/4 of a mile to a mile. So it's like somewhere between like I guess 26 to 36 laps. And I don't know, it's like meditative. You just sort of like get into like submerge yourself in fluid and just have this sort of rhythmic motion. I don't know.
I was going to
It's good
ask that. I
exercise, and
have
it, yeah, it feels
heard
good.
that. I have heard that about some ex. I've never been able to do that. I'm usually, when do I get to be done? When do I get to be done? When do I? That's usually my. But I have heard very much that people who enjoy exercising, they get into this, they do it, and it somehow it relaxes them, and they can think, and it frees their brain, and it's a kind of. It's not only physical; it's mental. And I have never been that way about any kind of exercise, but I kind of, not really. I mean, I remember being younger and mowing the lawn, and I would, the way I could would get through, we had a huge lawn, get through
Wow.
it would be to, that's when I started making up stories. That's when I was like 13, 14, I was
Yeah.
making up stories to get through mowing the lawn. But I never felt, never, ever felt like it was meditation.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that it, like I don't know. It's just like something that I think it's just the constant repetitive motion, and the fact that your body just sort of like, once you sort of start doing it, and your heart rate settles down a little bit, it's happening automatically. You don't really have to think about it anymore, and it doesn't feel like you're putting in nearly as much effort, and so your mind can wander a bit. That's at least that's how I feel.
That's it. I pretty much can't walk and chew gum at the same time. So, you last time we chatted when we were testing this out, I don't want to miss this because I want to know about the poetry slam. You said you went to a poetry slam. I want to know what that is, how that works, what that looks like, what the atmosphere. I want to know everything.
So I mean, like I've been, reading poetry on Twitter for a while, and I just, I really enjoy reading, reciting poetry as spoken word. I think it's really important. We can talk more about that later. But so I just decided, like, I don't know, what stopped me before, but I was just kind of like, maybe I should just look to see if there's like a, I don't know, a poetry society in Pittsburgh or something, and if there's, poetry events. And sure enough, there's like a poetry slam event, and it's like a league. It's like a bit of a, it's a competition. They get points and all this kind of stuff. So I mean, for the last year and a half, they've been doing things over Zoom, and like it's sort of fallen into sort of just a very informal thing. So this was like their first night back as sort of like a regular competition.
Oh,
And
wow.
so I went and I performed, and I don't know, I guess the judging is a little bit weird. I mean, I don't know. It's very informal, and they would just like pick 5 random audience members. I think I did well. I had fun, but I guess I didn't get into the top three. So there was one guy who was really, really good, though. Other people had good poetry, but I don't know. I felt like their performance itself could have been a little bit better, but so I don't know what the judges were looking at. There was no guidance to that. So I don't know. I just did my poetry, and I got a lot of good responses from people in the audience, so it was nice. So,
When you do that, do you have to have the poetry memorized or do you get to read it?
you can do either. I do think that having it memorized would certainly give your performance just more dynamicism, I guess. That's the way I would prefer to do it, but I just didn't really have time. My poem, they're usually, I guess, between 2 and 3 minutes, most people's reads. And that takes some effort to memorize something that length.
It very much does. That's monologue length. And that would take me a couple weeks, actually. I wouldn't. Then I still wouldn't be. It would take me a long time to really feel like I could own those, that kind of, even 3 minutes, that kind of words. So you go and what? So they hadn't been doing it for a while. What was the atmosphere like? I mean, was it in a coffee shop? Were people excited and happy to be together?
Or? It was like sort of. Yeah, I mean, I think people were excited. It was an outdoor patio. I would say that there was about, 20 to 25 people there.
That's pretty good.
And it was in a kind of, I don't want to call it trendy. It's like a very old area of Pittsburgh, but it's been rejuvenated a little bit and stuff like that. And it's really nice. It was a beautiful evening. And I think, yeah, people were just sort of happy to be in each other's company again. It was a pretty nice vibe.
So was that your first ever in-person one?
Yes.
Or had you done any? Yes. Oh, wow. So go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that when I found out about it, I joined a Zoom one last month, but that was like my first time even just sort of meeting a couple of the people and stuff like that. So
seeing how it worked.
Yeah.
Is it improv? Well, yeah, he would. Is it improv or can you pre-write and prepare? So, yeah, you had your poems, you took them with you, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So you must have, okay, now it must come naturally through you then to stand up in front of people and read or perform in front of people. So there must be some background there because most people that I have met, it can be a little intimidating or, so what is that background? There's something there.
That background is being a professor. So,
you go.
Yeah. So I stand up in front of people all the time. Now, granted, I am not, I'm in no way a literature or poetry professor or anything like that. So this is definitely, sort of a different area for me. So, but I had spent, I've spent enough time in the Twitter writing community now. And, I feel people who I consider very good poets have given me, very wonderful and warm feedback on both my readings and my poetry that I've sort of accepted myself, I guess, as, at least a reasonable writer.
Yeah.
And reader.
Yeah. And not only are you performing it, but, you are reading your own and people get inspired for different reasons. It can be sometimes it's a word or a color or whatever. And sometimes it's just the rawness of your heart. And so one poem can be easier to read out loud than another. Did you read anything that was really emotional or how did you select?
So I brought three poems and I wasn't quite exactly sure of the rules. So I guess there's like three rounds, but in the first two rounds, like the first two, your point total after the first two rounds decides whether you get to read in the final round because only the top three people get to read in the final round. So I brought three poems. I only got to read two. And I sort of based it how, I guess to get to that third round, I wanted to, I guess at least read one of what I thought was my most high impact poem. So I read that second, hoping that would propel me into the third round. There's only five competitors and I did not make it, but that poem, that was where I got the most positive feedback. And like people were telling me that they almost cried and that it was just, really an amazing poem. So I'm pleased by that. I don't really care about not getting to the final round.
Yeah. There's nothing better than making people be able to feel something or giving people the gift, not making, but, I don't know if you saw, but there are like eight little chat heads and I would love to do a poetry slam on the podcast. I think that would be ridiculous fun. I don't know how I would set it up and I've never done anything quite like that, but I think that would be just amazing, just really fun. Yeah, that would be dope. I would love to do that. I think that would be, and we could have the audience judge if they wanted, you know, what,
yeah,
I don't know, and then count that out. But I think, yeah, that would be amazing. That would be really cool. And I got those little chat heads there and they're all empty. So, and people could even call in and then, you know, if they had to go log off or whatever. So, I've never done, I didn't realize that it was kind of a competition and that you go back and forth. And then I have done things on Twitter where I've written back and forth with people, and that's been a pretty, you know, just live poetry, but I've not ever done anything where I competed kind of reading, choosing ahead. That would be hard for me because you want to judge the audience a little bit. And that would be an interesting experience. That would be, I think that's so cool. So now that you've told me all that, thank you so much. I hope you don't feel like I've grilled you. For some reason when I came to Twitter, I kind of thought that poetry was this thing that had lost its life, you know, that it's not something you could, I'd heard the spoken word. I've heard some really amazing different spoken word. There used to be a, I can't remember the name of it. It was a public television show because there were a couple places that they would take people. They would workshop people's stories from start to finish and change them into spoken word. And then they get up and they perform them orally. And they kind of compete. They had to compete the right to get to perform them orally. And then they're recorded. And I can't remember the name of the show, but I was, it was a public radio type thing. But the places they did it was all over the country. It was like at a bar or something, and you go in and they workshop your story, and then they turn it into this amazing spoken word thing. And I thought that was fascinating. I didn't realize that there were, you know, that I'm in Reno right now. I've looked on like the Meetup app, if you've seen that, you know, poetry, writing, whatever. There are a few writing groups, but you know, they're two, three, you know. It's not a booming community. Maybe in Portland, also where I'm out of state right now, staying with my mom. There might be one, but I think that's so cool that you got to go to one and then you got to do a Zoom one and then go live, and then you just stepped in. You know, that's pretty neat too.
Yeah, they were a little bit surprised because most people, because they have like, I guess they have like intermission slots where people will read poetry, but just, you know, just to read a poem or two, or, you know, sometimes they can sing a song or whatever if they have a good time. Like, you can do sort of anything you want during the intermission slot. And so that's what most people do for their first time. So they were kind of surprised that I just competed right away.
So you're a professor. What do you teach? That has nothing to do with poetry. You teach what? Pardon?
Meteorology.
Meteorology?
Yeah, the weather.
So science.
Yeah.
How do you, what is your connection to words then? Your creative connection to words. How does that work? Have you always wanted to write? Have you always had this passion for, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think I did in a way. My childhood is sort of hard to gauge. You know, my sister is like, you know, she paints, she sings, she's, you know, she's a very musically gifted, and she was always sort of the artistic one, and I was, you know, sort of the one that was good at math. And so I don't know, it sort of like felt like I was sort of set into a category through my childhood, and I don't think I really developed my creative side as maybe as much as I could. I was really always into like writing parody, satire and stuff like that. I think, you know, when I was, I think I always, you know, kind of had this dream of being like a Saturday, the kind of far out dream that you don't actually think you're going to do. It's like to be a Saturday Night Live writer. So I always had like sort of interest in that. And I had some acclaim for that, I guess, when I was in school. But that kind of fell apart once I hit university. And but I really loved, you know, my English class and discussing stories and analyzing them and things like that. And it probably wasn't until grad school where I just decided to, you know, after your first serious girlfriend, you break up and you start writing. You know, well, you get your first serious girlfriend and you write poetry first, and then you get broken up and then you write poetry again, right? So I started, you know, sort of seeing the value of just writing, though. And but there was like, I don't know what prompted me to do this, but in terms of my sort of transition into spoken word, I really love the poem, the love song of Jail for Proof Rock by T.S. Eliot. Do you know it?
I don't know it. I know who T.S. Okay. Eliot is, but I don't know the particular poem.
So I don't know. It's like my favorite poem. And I just decided, like, I don't know, I was bored in grad school and I decided I wanted to read the poem out loud. And the reason I said that I wanted to do that is because I remembered how Shakespeare takes on a different, you know, feeling and meaning when you actually say the words as opposed to just reading them. And so I decided, you know, what will happen if I did that with poetry? And so I really liked the poem and I wanted to like dive, because I have this analytical mind and I wanted to like dive deep into it. What is it saying? What is the feeling of the person, you know, this character, J. Alfred Prufrock? It's first person narration in this poem. And, you know, he's telling a story, he's pouring his heart out. And I wanted to just sort of experience what that was like by saying the words. I felt like it would gain more understanding, and it did. And then I ended up memorizing that poem, and it's a really long poem. It takes several minutes to recite. And I just, I don't know, it's like I performed it in a like abandoned parking lot across the street from my apartment, like just kind of, I don't know, just practicing oration. I don't know. So I don't know, at that point, I think I was really sort of, you know, got into just sort of the craft of poetry and reading. And I've sort of only done it lightly, you know, since grad school. I have a blog and I've posted some poems there. But I think for a long time, I wanted to write essays. I was sort of just had a lot of ideas on my mind. And since the pandemic, I don't know, has really brought out the creativity in me. So that's why, go ahead.
Sorry. Well, you know, you talk about, you know, your kind of journey, even from satire, and then you were writing, you started to engage in with the poetry and speak it out. And then you went back to kind of creating your blog and writing. I know some people, writers come at their words differently, but some people are driven to write, and they're either, if you're not writing it down on paper, I was always writing in my head, you know, how I would speak it out, how I would share it with somebody else, how I would communicate an idea constantly, especially with the blog, because, you know, that's all ideas and opinions and thoughts and whatever. I wasn't writing stories when I was blogging. What was your blog like?
I was writing, like, I don't know, just like more philosophical things, my thoughts on current issues, you know, feminism, humanism, I'm an atheist, it says so on my Twitter bio, so it's not a surprise to anybody. And so, you know, I critiques of that. And, you know, I got very involved on my blog with the community of like of people who have deconverted from fundamental Christianity. And I find that fascinating. I find the brain fascinating. And so that was also part of a lot of things that I was moving through in my head, because I was reading a lot of books about, you know, how the brain works, how belief works in the brain and things like that. And so, you know, writing was just a way of really just sort of getting out a lot of ideas that were going on in my head. So they were, you know, mostly, you know, maybe an article inspired a blog post or, you know, something that I read, and I just start talking, you know, waxing philosophical, as they say, about things.
So even though they were, you know, philosophical or really intelligent, but you're still kind of storytelling in a way. You're taking in the information, you're reforming it in your head, and you're retelling it in a way that you better understand it. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true.
And you kind of had to do it. I mean, it helped you think, it helped you process, it helped you. So you were still telling your story, and that really, that kind of fascinates me. One of my sons is he's a unique kid. He's in college to be a physicist, and he's not a writer at all. But the way he comes at things, he's going to have some creativity when he gets to his physics part. But the way he comes at things and the way he processes things is kind of like that. You know, he comes when he tells me about his math problems, which I cannot begin to understand. You know, he'll be like, I don't have anybody to tell this, mom, and it's really cool. So he'll make me listen. You know, and I know he's telling me a math story. It's in a different language, but just the whole, I think something that is a theme on my show is how words create communication, and stories create that communication and empathy and build the understanding. And if we stop listening and telling, then we end up, you know, in conflict. So that's really cool. So you did your, and then you came to the poetry, and now is the question, how did you find the poetry on Twitter?
So I was, I don't know if this is a little embarrassing to admit or not, but I don't know. I was, I followed somebody on Twitter that, I don't know, thought was kind of cute. So I was like flirting a little bit, and I wrote she had a post, and I wrote a sort of poem in as a reply to the post. I don't know what sort of really compelled me. But you know, she had friends in the writing community, and somebody saw it. Actually, it's just like an Ember. I know many people will know her here. She's left now, but so she noticed and said that was really good. And she, I don't know, she just showed me this writing community and all the things you can do. And that if you like to write poetry, there's these prompts, and this is how they work. She was just like super, super friendly and warm, and you know, took a lot of time out to explain things to me. So I always try to pay it forward with, you know, new people in the community as a result of that. But that was the beginning, and I'm here.
That's fantastic. I missed some of the comments. I guess your favorite poem is also a favorite of some of the listeners. Tell us. No, but above that. Oh, is that the quote for In the Room the Women Come and Go Talking of Michelangelo?
That's from J. Alfred Prufrock, the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock. That's probably like one of the more famous lines.
Yeah, I don't know. Who tell us, and you have, yes, and you're very supportive. The retweets today and this morning, I was laughing. It was pretty funny this morning. So you're in the poetry community, and you're reading the poetry, and you're sharing it. What is your favorite aspect of just the Twitter community? What is your favorite aspect?
I would say there's two things. So one, and I'm not sure that they're not unconnected in some way. One is that everybody is, you know, even if they have like a writer's name or whatever, there's just people putting their hearts on the table. It is like a community full of vulnerability, and I love it. I love it. I love just people being open emotionally through their poetry. That I don't know. I think that's what, you know, sort of I love about the poetry I read. It's like a dissection of the human heart, you know, and mind. And so that's just a thrilling, invigorating, inspiring thing. And then the second part, which I think is related to the first part, is that it's a very supportive community. The people are warm and friendly, and you can just see the impact of your own kindness ripple throughout the community. And it's such a satisfying feeling. I don't know. It's like, you know, in this world, it's like, you know, you try to do good things, but it's like, it doesn't always feel tangible, you know? And I don't know, there's something very tangible about the, you know, when you give back kindness and support that you receive, and you can see the differences that it makes in people's days. You know, I can't tell you how many times people have just, you know, I've I've, you know, absorbed some of their poetry and given a thoughtful comment on it and shown my appreciation. And just like, people will just say like, I just really need to hear those words today. Thank you. Or whatever. I don't know. It's just, it's wonderful.
Aww. it, you know, I never thought that Twitter would have all these different aspects, these different sides, these different, just the open threads, but you get into, I don't know, I wouldn't call them cliques. They're kind of like pods, you know, you follow this person and that person and this person, you know, because cliques kind of make you think nobody's welcome. And that's not true.
what we're really seeing. Oh, go ahead.
No, it's just such, it's an organic community. That's my word for the day. Organic. I must have said it 30 times.
but that's a good description. That's a good description.
Yeah. And it is such a special thing. When I first saw it, you know, men and women writing all kinds of, and you're right, the vulnerability and the honesty and the feeling and the creativity in it, I thought, this still exists? That is amazing. your poetry slam.
I've had a lot of, you know, sort of issues with social media in general. I was probably close to just leaving Twitter, to be quite honest, because I just get sucked into these, you know, sort of whirlwinds of rage, you know, and just at all the things that are going on in the world. And, you know, all of a sudden I found this community and I was just like, that's what I want my social media to be. And so I'm like, I'm just like happy to shelter inside. I look out occasionally, but it doesn't affect me in the same way that it used to. I sort of have realized that I think I could almost like, I think people on social media are making far less difference than they think they're making on any given issue. And while I understand the power of communication and spreading messages, I don't think that that's pointless, but I just feel like most of us spend too much time raging about things. And, you know, when you can say important words and also, I don't know, move people's hearts and minds and inspire, I don't know, it just, there just feels like more value to it. And, you know, people can do what they want and more power to them if that makes them happy. But I don't know, this is as happy as I've ever been on social media anyway. So,
yeah, it is it's a very fulfilling place. There's a comment. Do you want to read that? Can you see it on your phone? The last comment?
Yeah, hold on.
I bet you would read it better than I would.
Seeds blown. We are pappas seeds blown from one to another, tumbling passion, wind-driven, sticking for a time before rolling outward, spilling dreams, dripping, blessing kind words and tender hurts.
Yeah, you read that much better than I would. Yeah, very much that. Very much that. In the poet, it is a good place to shelter for things that you cannot change, that you can't affect, that you can't, you can be a voice, but if you're just another voice, I'd rather be a voice to the individuals. And you really are able to connect with individuals. And, you know, just in your comments and your responses, it spreading kindness that way is, you know, you've got a lot of friends. That's it. You know, I was looking at your count. Your count is pretty small. I mean, it's about 2,000, but you know everybody.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, what you were just saying is kind of, I guess, another thing that I like about the community is that, you know, you go to a museum and you like a piece of art, you never get to talk to the artist, right? I mean, you read a book that you like, I mean, you can try to send that author an email, but they're probably not going to respond most of the time, right? And so I don't know. It's just like to be able to talk to somebody about their, like, what did you mean by this? Or like, I really like this part. And, you know, you can, you know, sometimes have conversations about these things. And that's just that's a huge gift to be able to talk about the process with people who are writing. So,
yeah, that's true. That's very true. I agree. and just be able to, even the podcast has become all about for me, interviewing people on Twitter, because, like last night, Cammie is from Egypt, and tonight I'm going to be, I don't want to say her name wrong, but she's from India, and I used to have a friend from South Africa, and I have another friend who I think he is in Africa, but it's not South Africa. Is he in Uganda? You know, that I never would have. And then when we write back and forth, that we can find, I was talking about this with Cammie, that, and another an author actually who's from Croatia, how if we get the common language, we are able to communicate in the emotions of the language, and that becomes universal. And that is kind of amazing. It crosses all the culture stuff. If you're just, I don't know, the poetry and different, she was a romance writer, but that her romances are popular in America is an interesting thing to me, that the love is universal, that it just crosses all the, and poetry does that very much. It just, it fascinates me. And I don't understand how it works. And so it is a big fascination. So what, I don't know. I feel, I had to form that question in my head. So you're on the, if you could do, I don't know. I think if you could do anything on Twitter with the poetry community, if you could share it with someone or produce something out of it, I mean, and make it, because it's so ephemeral almost. If somebody leaves, everything in their account goes poof. And you can't, I've written back and forth with people, and if they leave and they close their account, their side of the writing back and forth is gone. And if I didn't copy it, it just makes me so sad. I just feel like I lost something special.
You can archive your entire Twitter history.
I have, but I didn't know they were going to leave, and I didn't get it in time. I've archived my history 3 times since I've been on Twitter.
Yeah,
but it just feels very ephemeral. I mean, if you could, what would you do to make it, to share it with people, to make it more permanent? I mean, I love that you're recording the poetry. So that's kind of where I'm leading with that. Are you going to do anything with those? Are you going to collaborations?
I don't know. I honestly haven't, I'm not, you know, I guess I already have a career, and I don't sort of, I just think of this as sort of a pastime. I haven't really thought about anything. I mean, I actually, you know, I really like what you're doing. I think that that's, if there was anything that I would want to do, is, and it's part of the reason why I read people's poetry, is not only do I enjoy it, but, you know, when I started doing it, a lot of people would say, like, I've never heard my poetry read, and they write beautiful things. And you know, like, so I like giving that gift, but I also, you know, I also strongly think that poetry should be spoken, and that it is something that it has a rhythm, it has a music to it.
And very much,
And so, you know, even if it's free verse, and so it's meant to be heard. And so I like making sure that I would like, you know, us to use our voices more on Twitter. I think just reading poetry all the time is not necessarily good. And I also would like to, you know, I guess the one thing I did think about is doing sort of like a storyteller series where people would take a poem and tell us, you know, some of the background or the process into writing the poetry. I don't know. So that was like something that I did think of recently would be one thing that I would want more of on Twitter. But, you know, you're kind of doing that and you know, talking to these amazing personalities and amazing hearts on here, you know, not all of them are going to be famous, but produce just amazing poem after poem every day. And just, I think, I don't know, letting their voices be heard and talk about writing, because I think they have interesting things to say.
I agree. There are some comments. Oh, an audiobook or an audio album. Yeah, you could just compile them. I don't know. Put them. I noticed you had SoundCloud, which is really cool because then it's easier to access. I don't, and in fact, I never even thought about SoundCloud, but I like that a lot. It's truly the best experience to have Sworn read my words. It's got it. Don't you read them? Ever? You just give them to him to read. You loved when Sworn read my poetry, but his suggestion also helped me read my, there you go, read my poetry better. It can be, you know, that's what, why I asked about the poetry slam, because reading it aloud, not everybody necessarily wants to do it. And sometimes the poetry makes them very vulnerable, and which I totally get, that it can be difficult. So having somebody else hear you read it is always really cool.
I mean, really cool. It can sometimes be seen as presumptuous, I guess, because, you know, I do have to, at times, you know, I'm making my own interpretation of the meaning and things like that. And I think obviously a poet at least, you know, has the ability to read their poetry better, but not everybody thinks of their writing as something that should be spoken. And so, maybe they don't have that performance ability or to translate the intonation of their voice, you know, into their poem. I mean, because I really do, I've always loved lyrics. So I've always loved, you know, song lyrics and, you know, the voice has always seemed like another instrument in which to, you know, express emotion in the same way that music can also make us feel emotion. So, I don't think everybody necessarily thinks in that way. And so, I do believe in some cases I might be reading it in a bringing I guess a different life to the poetry than they imagined. My hope is that I encourage people to say it at least to themselves. It's also a good way of editing too, is like, you know, when you start reading it aloud and you'll catch mistakes before you post it too. But always thinking about how it sounds in my head when I'm writing. So.
Yeah. I think about how it sounds, but I don't catch the mistakes. and I don't think it's, I think that there's something in that when a poet writes it and somebody gets something different out of it, it just, I don't know, it somehow expands it, makes it bigger. You can, having the same words have slightly different emphasis or different points of view is it's very much interpreting the art, right? You know,
right,
you don't.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, some poems are very Jackson Pollock and some are not. And some are, you know, you don't, I like trying to read E.E. Cummings is sometimes like doing somersaults. And I would love to hear him read his words. That would be amazing. That would explain so much. It would, but I don't, at the same time, the way he wrote them that way for a specific reason and for the reader to have to engage, you know, but I do agree. I love that you're reading poetry and offering to read poetry with other poets. So, you brought some poetry to read tonight, your own?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I'm so glad. I would love to, now that I've talked your ear off, I'm sorry.
No problem.
I'm a little bit passionate about my words. I love words. I would love to hear you read. Okay. And then I'll ask you what each poem means. That's what I'll
So this is one that I read at the Poetry Slam on Wednesday night, and I actually just published it on my blog today. So if I don't know, I also posted my blog link on Twitter. So I don't know if people want to follow along as I'm reading, they can find it on my profile page. So I can give people a couple minutes to find it if they like. So, I mean, sometimes it's nice to read along. Sometimes it's nice to just like close your eyes and listen. So it's up to you.
Yeah. I have to engage with it.
So, and this poem has a little bit of science into it. I like to incorporate science into my writing. So I'm one that finds science inspirational. And so I try to meld it together. I think science becomes pretty when you can, you know, blend it with poetry. So
is this Cloak Unfurled?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I will share the link. I don't know if people, it'll be kind of hard. You might be able to copy it, but there it is.
It's cloakunfurled.com. So it's not any fancy spellings there. So you can find it that way too. And I also thought this was a good one for just sort of contrasting also, you know, sort of our science and art, both contrasting and comparing, I guess. So anyways, let's go. So this one's called It's Not Obvious. It's not obvious that the stars aren't revolving around me. It's not obvious that I'm the one who's actually moving, even when I'm sitting here. There is no disproving. And you're moving too. It's not obvious that I'm not static as life evolves around me, that time's dissolving into me, that I too am just another object subject to vast forces shaping me at some point in a universal scaffold that is shaping itself. It's not obvious that my life isn't planned, that it isn't canned. How is it not a map when there is seemingly no event in my life that didn't depend on an amazing number of low probability occurrences subject to the subtlest of disturbances, making each moment a miracle in a myriad of possible timelines? I want things to be clearer, maybe hold things nearer. I'm happy and willing to be the first one to try and really look at themselves in the mirror. Why is it when one person has a bad day, he's able to tuck it away? Another wants to do good to compensate, and yet another spits bile and hate. Is it all just too late? Or did we really never stand a chance? Because it should be all a little easier to follow, but there are sharp turns and hard truths to swallow with little time to wallow. So if I say that I want to sit here and pretend that the stars are going by and that the moon is smiling, beaming, radiating, not reflecting, and that I like it that way because it makes beautiful poetry, then let me. Because it's not obvious to me that that's a bad idea.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you.
This line, which was it? It was, It was the line I was like, oh, that's so good. Oh, the universal scaffold. That is shaping itself. I'm like, oh, that is a very cool line.
Thank you.
And then the way you hit the notes, the rhymes at the bottom that kind of close it, adds so much power to it. Tell me what the science is about, because, you know, I'm not a science girl.
So, I mean, there was a time when we thought, you know, everything revolved around the Earth, and, you know, we still talk about it. It's in our language and, you know, it's in our poetry, right? It's the stars are going by, the sun is moving across the sky, the moon is moving, you know, so we have all these, our language still denotes a sort of old model of the solar system that isn't true. Right. And it's all because, you know, we thought that because we can't feel that we are actually moving as we turn with the Earth. So, you know, everything moving across the sky is how it appears, but the sky isn't moving. We are, right? And I find that, I've always just found that fascinating to me, that there was, you know, people looked at the sky and there were two possible answers to why things were moving across the sky. Either things in the sky were moving or we were moving. But because nobody could perceive that, they all thought the other answer was true. And there's something just very interesting to me about that, because I think it speaks to our, our sort of desire to find joy in life in the aesthetics, not in how actually things are. And sometimes reality can be cold, it can be hard. And so sometimes we want to just pretend that things are moving across the sky, that it's not us that are actually moving. And we want to pretend that everything is changing around us, but we are somehow still the same when, you know, that's not true either. And so, you know, we all have our things that, you know, that make us happy, that make life beautiful, that may not have anything to do with reality. And, you know, that's okay, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here. You know, I don't know, providing you're not, you know, throwing virgins into volcanoes or something like that.
I like those two contrasts. That's I was just thinking when you talk about, you know, the instant image when you say that the we're moving, the sky's not moving, is all that stop motion photography of the sky moving and the camera, you know, catching it and what that looks like and how impressive that is, but it's not necessarily a true perception. But that right. doesn't necessarily mean it's any less beautiful to right. watch the result of that.
Right.
My mind absolutely says I'm standing still and that's moving. And, but yeah, that's not the truth. So, yeah, but it doesn't change the result of the beauty of it. Some of that photography is the most amazing stuff I've ever seen. That somebody would have the patience to do it, you know. It's easier now right. than when we were right. kids, you know.
But yeah, it used to require a lot of patience. I mean, even think of the, you know, early days of astronomy. I mean, people just sitting night after night charting the stars every night in their positions to try to understand the patterns of how the stars were moving. It's incredible.
Yeah, that took a definite fascination and dedication. Probably a little bit of obsession too, of wanting to know.
Yeah. Or just boredom. There's nothing else to do at night, you know, before electricity, right? So,
yeah, that too. Just boredom. I'm just gonna stand out here. Yeah, your teenage kid, mom. I'm just watching the stars.
Or just like, you know, like right now, it's like when the kids are in bed, you're just like, oh, that nighttime where I can just like, I don't know, just be silent and like nothing's happening. And there's, you know, you could just sit there and chart some stars and just, you know, just the sound of the ink on the page and just that happiness of like everybody else sleeping. I don't know. It can be appealing, I think.
Have you gotten to do that? I just need to ask, have you gotten to travel where you could really see the stars? I mean, as a professor or in the training, have you?
No, I mean, astronomy is, you know, not, you know, outside. I mean, I chase tornadoes and stuff like that. So I got to do that, but yeah, I never really got to go to a good observatory out in the middle of nowhere and just like stare at the stars. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't need to be an astronomer to love that. But so you've chased storms, yeah. And is there poetry about that somewhere? Because
I do have some weather poetry. I don't know if I have necessarily. Occasionally, I might write poetry about the weather in particular, but a lot of times I use, you know, sort of weather as metaphors for things. So I definitely have that in a number of my poems.
That would be one of those, you know, striking moments as the weather, it makes me think the Pacific Northwest, the ocean can be very, and the weather there is very windy and very tumultuous and yeah. And stormy and very passionate. And so I'll if I'm writing about the beach, it's usually something like that. It has something to do with the way the waves hit. So I can imagine if you've chased tornadoes and twisters. Have you seen a twister? I have to ask.
Yeah.
A number of times. You know, that is kind of cool. I'm just seeing a twister. Yeah.
I mean, I went tornado chasing, then I saw Twister. So.
That is so cool. Yeah, no big deal. But whatever. Yeah. You know, it's just part of my, you know, becoming a professor and stuff. It was just, you know.
I got interviewed live on the Weather Channel one time by Jim Cantore. It was very exciting at the time.
Oh, really? I don't know who Jim Cantore, but you were live, so that's really awesome. Were you nervous when you got interviewed on the live on the news, or were you just, you know, no big deal?
It wasn't that bad because, like, at that point, like, because when I became a student at University of Oklahoma, it was right after Twister was shot. So, like, all of a sudden, like, there was a lot of interest in tornado chasing and things like that. And so we had this very unique tool. It was actually the only tool of its kind at the time. Well, actually, two of them. There were two Doppler radars on the back of trucks. So they were mobile radars that were meant to, you know, get, you know, high resolution data of tornadoes at close range. And so we had, like, all sorts of, like, film crews and TV crews, like, they were just, like, making documentaries and things like that. We had, like, a German film crew for a while. We had a Japanese film crew for a while. So, like, they were constantly talking to all of us who were on, you know, there was three people in each truck. So we were getting sort of, you know, interviewed all the time about, you know, what's going on, what's, you know, the situation and things like that. So
it's not like in the movie. It's not like in the movie, but
yeah, it's not like in the movie. It's not like in the movie. Yeah, we will not see five tornadoes today and still have time for steak and eggs and Auntie May's. Yeah. We will eat at a gas station, and that gas station may or may not have week-old hot dogs rotating on a spit, you know, so.
Any flying cows? I mean, at least, no, you know, one. Darn.
No, we don't get, if we're close enough to get a flying cow, we aren't chasing storms properly, and we probably deserve to get hit by a.
Yeah, you're going to be, that is not the place to be where you want to be if a cow is. No. Okay, we got off the topic. Would you like to read another one?
Sure. I can. I'm trying to think of something that's a little bit more. This one, I don't know. I don't know if it's very good, but it's sort of more weather. You know, weather nerdy, I guess. So maybe it can only be appreciated by a weather nerd. So we'll see. This is called Atmospheric Disturbances. Along the westerlies on that jet you see, you came to me, I stumbled topside down, moving north and south, the words out of your mouth, and gathered the clouds. Feet were cold to your hot, we met at the boundary, you go low, I go high, and we'll swirl around the sky. Rain rolls in, rain rolls past, bad weather never lasts, we'll rain down to the ground, find some dew, together, me and you. We are the lifeblood of Earth. That's it.
I like how the rhythm changed. Would you read that one again, please?
Sure. Along the westerlies on that jet you see, you came to me. I stumbled topside down, moving north and south, the words out of your mouth, and gathered the clouds. Feet were cold to your hot. We met at the boundary. You go low, I go high, and we'll swirl around the sky. Rain rolls in, rain rolls past. Bad weather never lasts. We'll rain down to the ground, find some dew together, me and you. We are the lifeblood of Earth.
We are the lifeblood of Earth. I like that. That's a little bit more spoken word. You said you wanted to talk about spoken word. Do you write that as well?
What do you mean? I mean, I thought that's what the Poetry Slam is all about, spoken word. What do you mean?
Oh, okay. I thought the Poetry Slam was more, you know, like the first, like, poetry. It's spoken word is, okay, maybe that's what I'm not understanding. Is there the spoken word that I have heard in the past? It is poetry, but it also is, it's somewhere between poetry and rap, I guess.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. I think slam style poetry is a little bit different. I would, you know, sort of equate it closer to the rap and the poems that I'm reading of people on Twitter, or more just sort of, you know, reading people's poets out loud. But I guess in my mind, I don't make a strong distinction. You know, I I think it's just it's all poetry. And when you are reading it, you choose a voice to read it in that suits the words you're reading, you know, and the emotion that it's ascribing. So there's, you know, sometimes even with a short Twitter poem, I will read it sort of fast and in slam style because that's just what the words demand. I don't know. I don't know if I'm explaining that well.
No, you're making sense to me. You're making sense to me. In my head, I have a spoken word is it's written. I write it differently than I would write a poem, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not poetic. It's just how I write it. I tend to, yeah. And so that's when I was drawing my line, my different in my head. It's just the stylistically. And so when you read it, I don't know, you could read any poem, I guess, like spoken word, but in my head, I'm looking at paragraphs that are poetic.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I guess, you know, like, I mean, truly, I have no formal training on poetry or anything like that. So I don't know really what I'm doing. So I write the verses that I feel, you know, and I just like, that's how it goes.
That makes it even more amazing. You had some comments. I don't want to miss all your comments.
I'm checking.
Farming livestock the hard way. Oh, the cow. Yes. yes. So romantic. Just geek enough. I love how you meet at the boundary of language, of art, and science. Sworn effect.
I'm not sure who Getsu Kage is, but I may want to marry them. They've been so kind. And I don't know if it's somebody I know or don't know, but either way, we're going out.
The sworn effect, deceptive simplicity with depth beneath. That's great. Great. Yeah, you're well loved too. I mean, you have fans. So.
But like I said, you know, it's just because like they write beautiful things and I appreciate their beautiful things. Like, I don't know. It's nothing that I'm, you know, necessarily trying to do. It's just like, I don't know. People are nice. People are nice and supportive and are creative. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just exciting. And you just say like, wow, this is so beautiful. And this really made me feel this way, or I really want to read this. Will you let me read this out loud as spoken word? So,
that's what I was going to say. Kindness comes back to you. That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. It comes back to you. We've gone an hour, but if you have more to read, I wouldn't mind it. I mean, I don't think anybody else would mind it. That's up to you though.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can read something else. I'm trying to, I don't know. So, I don't know. Well, what do you want to hear? Some sciencey, some, I don't know.
I like the sciencey stuff because I'm not a science person. And when you put it in, might need to explain it a little bit, but when you put it in the poetry, it's much easier for me to digest and see the connections to daily life and to personal life. So I like your science stuff. I think that's really, it's kind of a really unique twist. I had one of the first people I had his poetry, some of his poetry, his whiskey poetry, but because he was listening to country music and it was very affected. And when he was down, his poetry, not all of it, but some of it was very much like a mix between a country and a blues song. And I don't know anybody else who's doing that. And I thought that was really cool. And now I know somebody who's doing weather poetry that he, you know, and sciencey poetry that is, that's really cool. So yes, please read more.
Okay. So, well, this is this is more metaphorical, but using a hurricane metaphor. So this one's called Braving the Storm. For centuries, your hurricane raged. I've studied, I've seen, I've felt. So much damage wrought, I've watched your lightning split them asunder. Your winds bent us to the ground. Some just snapped or were torn up by the roots. And your waters swept them out to sea, their suffering erased from history. A monster disguised as nature, fooling even the most benevolent, who were wise enough to be part of the storm instead of under it. We who did not break, we who had a moment to breathe, we gathered up our energy and we began to turn, a counter swirl to their spin. Our storm grew. We needed to show them that we could be as mean and nasty since they refused to subside. So we matched their maelstrom, roaring in a different hemisphere. They called our storm the enemy, a crime against nature. But the more their vortex spat at us, the more weary they became. And still our hurricane answers the call, the only way we know how. Chasing each other around the globe, but vigilante justice still looks like devastation. Too angry to be beautiful, too easy to draw in survivors, fueling the anger. How can we be peaceful? But before judgment is passed, remember who they destroyed, for we only scoured the earth from the rubble and the ruin of foundations callously laid. Now you can rebuild civilization, and humanity can be strong and beautiful.
That's really cool. How do they do? Do they snap at the?
Yeah, they do. They do some snapping. They do some snapping during the reading, and then clapping after the reading. Yeah,
that's really cool. So, what was that one about? What would you? That felt very.
So, there's a lot there. So
it feels like it's about two or three things. So yeah, tell me what that one was about.
So what inspired this one was a comment that I. From a woman I was talking to, we were talking about like feminism and how, you know, what it seems like is that, well, you know, women are sort of always forced to play a man's game, even as they, you know, as they fight for equality, it still feels like, you know, you're trying to fit into a world constructed by men. And, you know, she said, like, if I were to start everything from scratch again, it wouldn't look like this, right? And I created this poem as sort of like, you know, this the first storm is like sort of the patriarchy that is like swirling and has already sort of run its course over the earth. And so the so let's say like a northern hemisphere tropical storm. And so then the feminism is like this reverse storm that is trying to be as mean and angry as men have been to show that they have the strength to live in the man in a world constructed by men. And so sort of the last stanza is more about, you know, just sort of how, you know, we're just sort of doing our best and trying to, you know, sort of try to assert ourselves in a world that we didn't construct, and that, you know, maybe only once we get to that sort of that level of equality that we can start to sort of redesign the world in a way that is fairer to more than just the male gender.
Where did the science fit in with that? Oh, well, the storms.
So the storms. So like,
and the cyclones and the force and the, okay, there I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like hurricanes spin in different directions in the different hemispheres. And so I was using.
Go. Yeah. The clashes and the.
Yeah.
Very powerful. Very powerful. Very powerful. yes. Very powerful words. Loves the sworn effect. Kind of apt. He has a certain gravitational pull, bending the light of perception with words.
I don't know who that is.
Someone very poetic.
Yeah. very kind. Almost a little too kind. I don't know if I deserve it.
No, that was a great poem. A very great poem. And I love, you know, that is because of the way you crafted it. It would be one of those poems. I would probably read it a different way. I wouldn't I would probably get the Clash and the some of the other nuances, but I wouldn't really have the feminism point of view. I wouldn't really come at it, you know, it's not a natural, you know, way yeah. for me to look at it. And so then it doesn't matter. I can still, it still creates an emotion.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it can extend, you know, if you can see it as oppression at all, I think it applies to any sort of oppression, right? Because it's always, you know, you're always having to rise up to meet the sort of standards of the oppressor before you can start to make things fairer, right? So, you know, so there may be a broader metaphor to be made there. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it very much there's, and it wouldn't even have to be for that. It wouldn't, sometimes you oppress yourself, or sometimes you oppress, you know, there's I don't know. It's really cool. Sorry, tearing your poetry apart. No, words. Very good words. Well, we should probably finish up, but I'm so glad you came on. And I want the audience to remember that I really want to do a poetry slam. And so you just need to give me a time and a place, and we could do it on the podcast. My podcast is, it's kind of a hobby thing. It's kind of an addiction. I keep telling myself I'm gonna stop. I got other things to do. And then I'm like, oh, I have this really great idea. I want to talk to all the poets I could talk to all summer long. And so, so as long as I'm doing it, I don't have, it's not like I have some grand plan into the next year, because I don't. So if you, if Twitter, if we get a time and a place, I'll do it. I'll absolutely do it. I'm one of those people. I didn't realize how bad I was, how really, really cancer I was, until I saw some memes making fun of cancers. I never really thought, I don't follow astrology like that very much, but there were all these memes and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. And the one that is me is that if I build it and nobody comes, I will never do it again. I just do not have that. I have the boldness to build it, but if nobody comes up, that means that I didn't work and it's never happening again. So I'm just going to put that out there. I'm totally willing to do it. I think it would be a blast. I would love to have you come back. In fact, if you want to powwow even and figure out how we could do it, I would love to do that.
Yeah, sure.
I think it would be so amazing. Thank you for coming on and listening to me ramble a little bit.
This was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me. And I think what you're doing here is a really fantastic idea. So,
yeah, I thanks. I enjoy it a lot. Like I said, I get to talk to people about some of my favorite things and learn things all the time. I'm very much learning through talking to other people and testing out ideas. And I've been so surprised about how many conversations my mind has just been like, I'll somebody will say something and then I say something back and I'll be like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that about myself. I didn't realize that about you. I didn't, you know, realize I had this preconceived notion. I didn't, you know, it's just been amazing for me. So I really am honored that you came on and read. You are a beautiful reader, and I hope that you continue to keep going to poetry slams. I really want to hear about, I really want to hear about how that goes for you. If you ever want to, you know, just like, take your phone and do a live, you know, video of one, you know, a little clip and share that on Twitter. that would be cool too. I don't know. You know, just a little bit. Give us a little taste. I don't know. It'd be cool. So,
I made a YouTube channel. I have a couple of readings on there, I think, but not
that
much.
Would be great.
I just did. I did a reading of you know, the love song of Alfred J. Prufrock on there.
Did you?
Yeah,
you'll have to give me your link so I can pop them in and share them out so that not only so that I can go and see, so that other people can go and see and see all the things you're doing. I'll put your website on there and your Twitter, of course, will be in there, and your SoundCloud, which I don't have now.
I can send you that link. So
yeah, all those links. I would love to. I'll pop them in, and then when you share this out, they'll all be there too. So it'll take a little while for this to. I'll probably, because I'm doing poetry all weekend, I'll probably just get it up pretty quickly. So, but I'll tag you when I have it up so
okay.
that you Sounds can share good. It out. Thank you so much. And I'm going to go ahead and start my music and say goodbye.
All right. Good night.
Well, I really, really, really enjoyed that. You know, I've talked to a lot of different voice artists, and some of them create their own work, and some of them will read other people's work. And I've had some authors come on and they read their stuff, and it's always a little bit of a new experience. But Sworn is passionate about sharing others' poetry with them is kind of cool. He's very definitely giving back. It is very definitely a gift to have somebody else read your words, to think that they're important enough to be heard is kind of very much a gift. Communication is, I say it all the time, so important. Your story is so important, no matter what form it comes in. It can change minds just in radical ways that you never thought. And so many people are afraid to share their story, but on Twitter, where we're all sharing poetry, there's no room for that fear. We're just all being human, and it's so cool. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. I'll be back at 10 p.m. tonight talking to Saskia. I'm probably saying it wrong, but she's from India. She's produced and published several poetry books. They are gorgeous. She has black and white and color, and they're, you'll see her in the Your Story Told Twitter feed. I'll repost and share her words out too. So if you can come back, she's going to read too. Thanks a lot, guys. Good night.